9 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the WIP Morning Show. John Johnson, Al Morgani, Ruben Amara Jr., and Rob Cherry joining us on the line, Mr. Al Morgani.
Who is it?
He is the engineer for the afternoon show here on WIP. He is the co-host of the High Hopes podcast. He's got takes. He's got a top five at five, and his name is Jack Fritz. Good morning there, Jack.
What's up, John? Did you guys get the champagne I sent you for the 10,000th win last night?
Big day.
Yes, 15 plus years post the 10,000 losses. But Jack, I need to start off our conversation with some deep level analytics.
Yeah.
So the Philadelphia Phillies go 6 games without a home run. Ironically, Ruben Amaro Jr. arrives home last night just in time for the Phillies game. 5 dingers. Coincidence?
I don't think so. You know, Rube was always a big analytics guy, so I'm sure that he was able to work that in there. But I think it was more that Red pitching staff is a disaster. That ballpark is an absolute joke. And, you know, it's nice to see the Phillies finally break through. I mean, it's like they needed one of those. The weekend up in New York, I feel like they're kind of tight, yeah. You know, especially like Sunday, and then kind of able to break through. I think it was a big exhale game last night for this team.
Well, sadly, the one low point of the game was on Jonathan India's home run, where Brandon Marsh kind of leaps up to try to prevent the home run to catch the ball, comes down, twists awkwardly on his knee, lays there momentarily, goes off on his own 2 feet, received an MRI, which we are waiting to hear the official results. Jack, what should our level of concern be?
I think he's only going to miss a day or two. I really do. I mean, he said after the game last night that he was good. Remember when Wentz tore his ACL and he saw his knee wobble? Like, I didn't really see that last night. I know you can walk on a torn ACL and that doesn't really mean anything. But the fact that he seemed like he was in pretty good spirits, you know, I think he's going to miss a day or two. But to me, it looked like more of a big hyperextension, bone bruise kind of thing, more than anything that's going to cause him to miss a good amount of time here.
Now, something that I think every Phillies fan is noticing right now, in the absence of Kyle Schwarber, which, of course, you're missing home runs there, but Bryson Stott, last night wasn't a great example of that, but last night aside, he's been tremendous at the leadoff spot, and in the last 6 weeks or so, I don't know what happened. I'm hoping you can explain, where did this player come from?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is I think he has the fourth lowest strikeout rate in baseball since June 1st. So he's done a really good job of consistently putting the bat on the baseball. I think he works really good at that. And like worst case scenario, if you do leave him at the leadoff spot, is that I feel pretty confident he's going to get you to a 3-1, 3-2 count and at least make the pitcher work a little bit from the leadoff position. So, you know, I think in watching him coming up through the minor leagues and watching him in spring training, I know he got off to a rough start, but I kind of always felt like the leadoff spot was eventually going to be his landing spot. I thought he was going to be there for a long time, and I think this is only the beginning. You know, I think Schwarber did a really good job, and I think if they wanted to put him back there, I wouldn't hate it. But also, you know, you get those RBI chances down in the lineup, and he would have more RBIs right now. So I would leave Bryson Stott there, let him kind of grow into this role, and, you know, hopefully you find your leadoff hitter for the next, like, 7 years. I think he's been that impressive.
Wait, hold on a minute. Ruben Amaro, Jack Fritz is suggesting the possibility of leaving Bryson Stott at leadoff. How do you feel about that?
It's not the worst idea. I think that it's one of those things that he has really improved. I mean, you see some of the, you know, see some of the confidence coming back in it was at bats and then at bat to at bat. And now that they've kind of, you know, that they've moved forward from Didi Gregorius and allowed him to be the shortstop, there's that kind of added exhale that, you know, the guy can have, and then he doesn't have to worry about going over 5. But the biggest thing about being in the leadoff spot as a rookie is the grind, because it's a day-in, day-out grind of being able to handle that on a daily basis, and I'm not sure if he's quite ready to do that. I would not have a problem with him starting off in 2023 as the guy. But it's a little tougher in this situation maybe to have him do that for this playoff run. But who knows? I mean, maybe that's the way to go. I think once Bryce Harper comes back, I would probably rather have Schwarber back in the one hole.
Mm. So, Jack, hopefully the Phillies sweep the Reds today. And there's not a Phillies fan who's not happy they took the first 2 games. But the level of excitement isn't the same as it was maybe 5 days ago because of how that series played out against the Mets. Many were seeing it as a gauge for this Phillies team, and I understand where, you know, Mets may be on a different level. But, Jack, how should Phillies fans be feeling about their team right now, given how they've played out the last week?
Well, you know, I think the Mets are kind of having that year where it's like, all right, you can kind of chalk it up as the Mets year. Like, it's okay to admit that the Mets are a good baseball team. They do a lot of things well. They have good pitching. They have good hitting. They score in unconventional ways in modern baseball. It's not all home runs. It's more balls in play. But, like, I was so surprised at the reaction of this weekend. You know, Friday was one of those awesome, good, fun baseball games. I thought Saturday was a coin flip, but it felt like a playoff game, and I genuinely felt like the Phillies were right there, and if they could just get that one big hit, they would have been in that game. And then Sunday was a bad day. You know, I think a good baseball team has a bad day. It's not the end of the world. So, you know, when this team has tiebreakers over the Brewers, Padres, Cardinals, all three playoff teams that they are in the race, like, they've been good against good teams this year. They're over 500 against teams that have a winning record this year. So, you know, the reaction this weekend I thought was a little bit harsh. I understand because it's a team that, you know, has let us down the last couple of years and has lost a lot of our trust. But I thought the reaction was harsh this weekend. And if they sweep today, which they should, it's Ranger Day. And then this weekend, like they, if they come out, take three or four, you know, the city's going to be on fire. But I do agree, it seems like the Mets are a big litmus test for the fan base and how they view this team. I just think that's a little bit too harsh.
Yeah. So, Jack, I got an Eagles question or two to ask you, but I have to let everybody know, in the form of our prize wheel, Al Morgani, because number one on our prize wheel is a four-pack of tickets to Phillies Pirates August the 26th. And if I go on to read what else is included, that you can go over to Liberty Landing and meet Jack Fritz
with
James Seltzer,
yeah,
the host
Seltzer got
of
top
the
billing.
I hope
it's
Landing
kind of
is
weird
awesome.
To me.
It's awesome there.
Why isn't it Fritz and Seltzer? Why is it Seltzer and Fritz?
It's a good question.
Jack's,
now
Jack's
I've been
big
wondering
time.
The same thing.
All right, Jack. Let's go to Eagles football. Listening to the afternoon show yesterday, there was a lot of use of the word "elite" when describing the potential of this Philadelphia Eagles team. Jack, are you in that category?
I don't understand how you can be an elite football team with just an okay quarterback. I think it's hard to, like, the elite of the elite in the NFC. And I'm not talking about 1 year. I'm not talking about they can win 12 games, whatever, this year. I'm talking about sustained success. Like, there's very few examples of teams that can consistently be there with a quarterback who is just fine. Like, I think Jalen Hurts is a fine quarterback. I think he's in the Alex Smith, Jimmy G kind of tier where you can win games with him. The thing about being elite and having a sustained run of success here, it's like, yeah, the Eagles roster right now is loaded. But you know how that becomes harder? When you eventually have to pay the quarterback. So I'm evaluating the next couple of years along with this year. And when they eventually have to pay Jalen, if they do eventually have to pay Jalen, then you're not going to have as loaded of a roster, and you're going to have to put more and more on his shoulders. And I'm just not sure that he's talented enough to do that. So unless he takes a Carson level or Carson Wentz level leap from 16 to 17, I can't float around the word elite with this football team.
Jack, why do you think it is that so many fans and media are – it seems like they're giving Jalen Hurts more time than they've ever given any quarterback in the history of the NFL. He's been the starter for 20 games, right? And he presents many intangibles that you want in your franchise quarterback, the hard-working, the film rat, the gym rat. He's a leader. But in the end, what's going to matter most is what he can do on the field. Is it because of those intangibles that fans are willing to give him more of a chance?
I think it is. I think we are kind of caught in the – we are recovering from the post-Ben Simmons and post-Carson Wentz era where it's like, wow, this guy wants to be here. He works really hard. And it's like he has every single trait that you want in a great player and a great quarterback. Like, he has the work ethic. Everyone on the team loves him. He has all that stuff, and it's like fighting the can the intangibles outweigh the tangibles. And I think a lot of people believe that he's a winner, and I don't totally disagree. But winning to what extent is my thing. Like, is your goal to win the division? Is your goal to win 10 plus games, or is your goal to compete for the Super Bowl? And that's, I think, where I have the disconnect with the Hurts thing is that I can't see that guy being good enough to win them a Super Bowl. I think he can win them games. But I think what fans are looking at now is, like, he's a good guy, he works hard, and I more want to believe he's great rather than actually believe he's great.
Mm-hmm. Jack Fritz does an awesome job engineering the afternoon show, one half of the High Hopes podcast. And, well, you'll hear him every afternoon from 2 to 6 alongside John Marks and Ike Reese right here on WIP. Jack, thanks, man.
Yep, thanks for the time, John. Talk to you soon.
All right, Jack Fritz, nice enough to join us. Tyrone in Middletown's on WIP. Good morning, Tyrone.
Hey, good morning. Morning, team.
How you doing, Tyrone? Everything good?
Great. Jan Janssen, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in, Tyrone.
Yeah, and everything's great. Wow, following Jack Fritz, he's a statistical wizard. I think he has all the stats down. But there's one thing about Jalen Hurts that people fail to understand is that he has intangibles that will transcend not only himself, but it'll reach out to his teammates. And the fact that he's always been a winning quarterback wherever he goes, if you look at his record from high school, probably down to peewee football. He's a coach's kid who came up the right way. And he has, like I say, even in college, I was looking at his stats. He has a 65% passing percentage coming up playing in D1 ball. And he's played with, like, the Jerry Judys and the Devontae Smiths. And I forgot the other receiver. When he gets top receivers, which he has now, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, he's going to exceed a lot of expectations because he reminds me somewhat. I'm old school. When I used to watch Steve Young when he was with the Niners, when he had Jerry Rice and Roger Craig, they had one of the most prolific and unstoppable passing tandems in the history of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that he's going to be a Steve Young or – but he reminds me of him. He has certain attributes.
Well, Tyrone, here's a question I have for you that will ultimately determine what you think the ceiling of Jalen Hurts is. I would no doubt agree that they can win games with him based on the roster I'm looking at. Talent-wise alone, they are better than a majority of the opponents they are going to face. But, Tyrone, when it matters most against an upper echelon opponent, do you think they can win because of him?
Yes, because one of the things that I noted when I went to the open training session was that in given situations, he was literally throwing the ball either out of bounds or throwing it away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's working on running to his left, stopping, getting his feet underneath him and passing as opposed to always going to the right. But as he explores different possibilities as a quarterback, he's only going to become better and more of an asset for the Eagles because the very same things that make him lose, if he improves on it, it will cause us to win. And that's most important.
Okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Tyrone, let me get you a spin on the wheel. I need a bucket list place to visit.
Well, I've been there once, and it was in 1978, and I have to go back. It's called Mount Soledad. It's in San Diego, California. It's a beautiful place. If you've ever been there, you should see it once in your lifetime.
Oh, I'm writing it down right now, Tyrone. Get you a spin on the prize wheel. Still a ton of prizes available. Number 7, Al Morgani.
$25 Boston Market gift card.
Very nice. Tom in Sea Isles on WIP. Hey, Tom.
How you doing today, guys?
Doing good, Tom. How you doing? Everything good?
Yes, it is.
So talk to me about the Eagles. What do you got?
I think they got a big workout against the Browns this weekend, a game against the Browns. They let Jalen Hurts play a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Eagles are going to be a contender this year. If Jalen Hurts can play.
But here's the, like, Tom, I'm rooting for the guy. Don't get me wrong. But this is where I start to lose that connection with those who are saying something similar to you are, that you know he can play. Like, what – as the quarterback, we know he can extend the play with his legs. We know he can, orchestrate dump passes. It was the intermediate in a game situation where he's forced to roll that became a struggle for him last year, causing the offense to go all run. Thankfully, it worked out. Tom, what makes you believe that what we have not seen, we will now see?
It's just his work ethic that he has. And I just think he went out there to California and he's learned things that he didn't know how to do before. Mm-hmm. And he's got better receivers.
He does have better receivers.
He's got a better team around him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if Jeff Hostetler could win a Super Bowl for the New York Giants, he didn't win it. It was the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same with the Washington Redskins when they had Williams.
Yeah, when they had Doug Williams. Well, I mean, again, lightning can strike in a bottle from time to time. I mean, now that we look back on it, the 2017 Eagles, my goodness, the impossible odds they overcame with Nick Foles as their quarterback and gave up the most yards to a quarterback ever in a Super Bowl from Brady, but yet still somehow won. Tom, over the course of a season, though?
Jalen Hurts doesn't have to beat Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Or Joe Montana. He's got to play within himself and get a little bit more accurate on his passes.
Okay.
They're going to be a good team.
Okay. Tom, give me a bucket list spot to go to.
How about the island of Aruba?
Aruba. Ooh.
Tremendous.
White beaches, right, in Aruba? White sand?
It's the perfect weather. I had my honeymoon there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, spectacular.
Number 10, Al Morgan.
You got a $25 gift card to Rita's Italian Ice. Stop by Rita's today. Grab their newest and sweetest treat, Candy Crazy, with Rita's new Candy Kapow.
Ooh, I like that. Yes. That's a very cool name. You know, listening to our last caller, Tom, Ruben, this is what fascinates me. Everyone wants to believe that Jalen Hurts can be the franchise quarterback, and I can understand all the reasons why. But there's this constant battle of, I know he can do it because he did it in college, and I know he can do it because I believe he can do it. It's more belief than proof. And it even comes down to when we had Dave Zingaro on, and he mentioned how in training camp simulated practice when they're doing 11-on-11, the offensive and defensive coordinators are arguing over Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Jonathan Gannon's yelling, the play is dead, we sacked him. Shane Steichen saying, no, he would have gotten out of that. Keep playing. I can't recall. It's been a while since I've seen I'm trying to properly describe the divide in the fan
there's
base with him.
There's a bias because on the offensive side, I mean, you want to believe that this guy, because of what he does and how he handles himself and how good he wants to be, you're going to be pulling for him. At the same time, you have to be realistic. He has to be able to prove it onto the field that the decision-making and the things that he needs to do to be a championship-caliber quarterback in the NFL will happen. College and NFL are different. There's no question about it, and he's going to have to prove it, and this is the year for him to do so.
Jason, Jim, Joe, and TR will be up next, and then you are going to run through as many calls as possible in our final 2 seconds. We still have several prizes available on that prize wheel. I would love to clear off the wheel by the time we get out of here at 10 o'clock. WIP Sports Time is 9:19.
This update brought to you by Window Nation. Phils goes for the sweep. This afternoon in Cincinnati, 12:35 on WIP. Ranger Suarez starts. Phils an 11-5 win last night in Cincinnati. 5 homers, 2 from Reese Hoskins, who knocked in 5 runs. The win was number 10,000 in Phils history, which goes back 139 years. Phils currently in the second wild card spot. We could get word today on how serious Brandon Marsh's injury is. He hurt his knee and left last night's game early. Eagles will be in Cleveland the rest of the week, joint practices, and then a preseason game Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock on WIP. It's preseason game number 2. Get an A-plus in savings with Window Nation's back-to-school sale. Buy 2, get 2 free, and pay nothing until 2025. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. NBC 10 First Alert Weather brought to you by Meineke. Mostly cloudy today, high 82 at 74 in Philadelphia. Right now, receive 50% off brake pads and shoes. Meineke for tires, brakes, batteries, exhaust systems, and more. Meineke, doing car care right. To stream 94WIP, get the latest stories and news, go to 94WIP.com.
Straight off the playlist of Al Morgani. Welcome back, everybody. WIP Morning Show. A lot to get into in our final 2 segments together. In our final segment now, we're going to have the hot seat. We're going to have Rob Cherry's This Date in History with the Philadelphia Phillies. And possibly a story about a skydiver who decided to go skydiving without a parachute.
I saw that.
And people wanted to watch.
Oh, my God.
We'll get into all that. But there is one other story that I most certainly have to bring up. Rob Cherry, I don't think you were with us this particular day, but are you familiar with Freya the Walrus?
No.
So Freya the walrus is an actual walrus.
Does he live around here?
No.
No. Not at the zoo?
It is a legit walrus located in Oslo, Norway. And
that's
this is a walrus that made its way into this huge marina in Oslo. And it's not full of yachts. It's mostly mom-and-pop boats, like smaller boats that, anybody would own. And it became a problem because Freya was, you know, just a walrus that lost its way. But it enjoyed the marina so much that it never left. So it would hop up on the dock sometimes and lay on the various areas of the dock. But it then became a problem.
Loitering?
No. Freya chose not to use the docks anymore, but the boats in the arena. So it would climb up onto the boats.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem this presented is Freya is several thousand pounds. And the way that Freya would pull herself up onto the boat, the boat would take on so much water that it was sinking boats left and right. You know, at one point, it was like four boats a day that this walrus was sinking at this marina.
It was a loiterer and a nuisance.
It was a nuisance. But this became such a big story that it was now like a tourist spot. Like, oh, everybody, we got to stop and see Freya the walrus if we're going by this marina. And this is where it became a serious problem because people were getting way too close and testing their limits. Like, can we touch the walrus and run away? Can we get a real close selfie with the walrus? That type of thing. So the local authorities, they tried multiple times to lure the walrus out. It would come right back in. They couldn't rid of it.
What did they bring out to lure it?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Some form
fish?
Of fish, I suppose.
I think Jolovitz pictures.
Anyway, so this wonderful feel-good story sadly does not have a good ending. So it was announced yesterday that the local authorities deemed the walrus a threat to humans because people were getting too close. They euthanized the walrus.
They can't euthanize the people, even in Norway.
No.
That's a great tale.
Well, but
what are you telling us this story for? Well, you got a dead walrus. It's the end of the show. You created things are going well. You had to go there.
Well, I have another story later. That's we'll end on a high note.
My God.
But Al, people wanted to know how this story ended.
Jeez, what's wrong?
What am I not supposed to tell you?
I mean, my God.
I am listening in the other room and just yelled at Joe Wechter, why are you telling us this? Because it's so
Bambi.
Sad.
Bambi's dead.
What the hell?
Walrus being gone?
It's a follow-up story.
The walrus is Paul.
I am the walrus.
It's last words where second place is the first loser.
Not that, Paul.
Oh!
McCartney.
McCartney. Yellow matter custard.
Oh, cuckoo ca-choo. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, all right. We need to lighten things up. Jason from the Dirty 30s on WIP. Hey, Jason.
Good morning, morning.
Good morning, Jason. You look good when you came in. You're doing well.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Jason, I hope you took your share of tasty cakes on your way out the door.
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, you'll have to come back. We are the awesome guy from Tasty Cake, Carlos, is here stocking up the shelves right now. You're going to have to come by and grab some.
I saved them for John Johnson.
Okay, absolutely. So what's going on, Jason?
I want to congratulate the Phillies on their 10,000th win.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that we're going places. We're definitely going to be going to the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Jason, isn't it awesome, Jason? We all know what a big Eagles fan you are. And it has been, it doesn't feel like it, but it's been 11 years since we've been able to watch playoff baseball. Just the idea of it, to know October when the weather starts to change and you know the leaves start to fall, you could say, you know what, wait a minute. I got the Eagles this weekend, but hold on a minute. I got at least 3 to maybe even 7 Phillies games that are coming up over the course of the next 2 weeks that you get to enjoy as well.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah. Jason, you are a worldly man. You've been all over the place. I would like to add something to my bucket list. Where would you suggest I go?
I would love to go to the Super Bowl that the Eagles are playing again.
Way on. The Super Bowl, I'll just say Super Bowl in general. That's a unique experience. Number nine now.
I think number nine.
Was number nine taken?
Keith Jones autographed hockey.
Ah, it was. Okay. We go from Jason from the Dirty 30 to Kenny from the Dirty 30. Hey, Kenny.
Good morning. I'm sitting here on my deck in Ocean City watching the sun come up and having my breakfast and listening to the Angel of Death, John Johnson, tell us about Dead Walruses.
Yeah, Dead Walruses.
Listen, Kenny, it was a lovely story that had a conclusion, and I had to let the listening audience know.
Well, for the record, if some walrus sinks my boat that I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on, I'd kill it myself. So,
oh, that's a very Avalon thing.
Kenny, I don't know if you were listening earlier when Al and I held an Ask Al segment, and I asked him his thoughts on wire hangers, and he went on to tell a story about a woman he was dating a long time ago, and she went into his bedroom, saw the wire hangers, commented, yep, and then he abruptly told her to leave.
She's still complaining about him.
Has this have you ever encountered this?
You also had a caller that asked the question I did, like, you know, he wants to visit the planet Al Trump. Al's a different cat, and I tell you, he's like this lovable, he's like a Muppet, actually.
Now, hold on. Let me delve in this a little bit deeper. If he was a Muppet, which Muppet would he be?
He's a cross between Animal and the old guy sitting in the balcony.
Oscar the Grouch.
Yep.
He's not quite Oscar. No. Hold on a minute. He's more of a, he could be a Snuffleupagus sometimes. He could fit that category.
The Count.
He's definitely not the Count. The Count's more, he's more of a pimp. Anyway, Kenny.
Yeah, Al's not a lover. He's not a hugger. He's not a kisser. Al shows his affection by playing practical jokes on you.
He is. So he is more like Snuffleupagus, who was Big Bird's imaginary friend. Like, you're not sure Al's here, but then he is here.
Well, yeah, pretty much you just described his entire radio career.
An imaginary friend.
So, Kenny, you're hearing all these thoughts about Jalen Hurts. How you feeling about it?
I'm looking at a team last year, despite the schedule, that still made the playoffs without any professional wide receivers, without a defense, and with that defensive coordinator that had his head up his rear end. All of a sudden now we have two really good cornerbacks. All of a sudden we now have real linebackers. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden we drafted a Greyhound bus to play nose guard, and we have a professional wide receiver. There is no way with our schedule that if Jalen Hurts is even mediocre, we're not going to have a great season. I'm not saying Super Bowl, but it is going to be a fun season, and you never know what's going to happen with injuries and everything else from other teams. And by the way, I wish Angelo was there. I'm going to yell at him when he comes back.
What did he
do? He's talking about our light practice schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except for the Lions who are on TV, you go around the league, they're all doing it. The Raiders, the Rams. They're all doing these light practice schedules. The Saints. I mean, I'm talking to my fan friends around the country. They're all doing it now. It's this new poofter NFL.
Yeah.
Where it's just the way it is, man. And those old school guys like John Ritchie and some of us older guys that played contact sports, we just have to get over it. The fact that is, we all know that the only way to get in hitting shape is to hit, but apparently these young guys don't believe in that. So we just have to live with it because it ain't changing right now.
Well, we're saying that, and depending on what happens in week number one in Detroit, we'll certainly we could pull a 180, any of us, on that conversation. Kenny, it's funny, though.
It's Detroit.
I know. It's funny with the way you brought it up, Kenny, about just looking at their schedule. Before the show, Joe Wechter and I were just going through week by week who they're playing. It is remarkable. Again, it's on paper. The season hasn't started. What a cupcake regular season they truly have. They faced like three teams total that finished above 500 last year. It's remarkable.
It's just the way, what's that expression, the way the ball bounces. We have the potential just to get to the playoffs, and then anything can happen. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier with the Super Bowl, with the Lightning, you know, Tom Brady put up 3,600 yards in one game, and we still won. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. All right, Kenny. Always a pleasure, sir. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, we got Jim, we got Joe, TR, Rashid, and then you. If you want to spin on this wheel, I want to clear it off. Now is the time. We are looking for bucket list places to visit in your lifetime. Get your spin on the wheel. We got the hot seat coming up next, this day in Philly's history, and a ton of your calls. It's 937. Mm. 9:43, welcome back, WIP Morning Show. Al, Rob, I don't know if you guys heard this, but during the last commercial break, there was a promo spot for You Better You Bet, which is an Odyssey Sports podcast and program. Mm. And the two hosts of You Better You Bet, one is by the name of Trista Crick, and the other you guys had on yesterday, Al.
Yeah.
They don't like the Phillies very much.
They don't like Philly.
And they go over the top. Rob, if you missed this, I don't know if you ran to the bathroom or not. Listen to this spot that ran on our airwaves during the commercial break.
The Reds are 17-6 straight up against the Philadelphia Phillies recently in Great American Ballpark. Just another example of how some teams just have your number. So fight your instinct to fade those Reds and take them on the money line whenever Cincinnati hosts those trash Phillies.
What the hell was that?
Did they follow what the Reds are doing this year, what the Phillies are doing?
Those trash Phillies.
11-5?
The Reds.
11-4?
Oh, my God.
What is this disdain? Where is this coming from?
I don't know.
Those trash Phillies?
Yeah.
Who are those people?
I don't know.
They're the hosts of You Better You Bet. I think we need to talk to them, Al.
Get them on.
We got to set them straight. You had someone who hosts that yesterday. Did he talk poorly of the Phillies?
No, he was very good. He was actually quite good when he came on.
So she's got an issue with the Phillies.
Yeah, she's got some explaining to do.
Yeah. I'm writing this down. Trista Crick from You Better You Bet. Yeah. Trash Phillies.
Wow. I'm
quoting
plus,
her.
The Reds? What are you talking about?
Are the Reds, aren't they 25 games below 500 now?
They gave up.
Ava.
Just real quick, as Bill produces You Better You Bet.
Oh, that explains it.
She's not on that show. It's Nick Costas and Ken Barkley.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm assuming she is part of Odyssey Sports.
Okay.
So in some we have
Beat the Books. I'm sorry. It's Beat the Books we're finding out.
Beat the Books. Great. Fantastic. But, yeah, just letting you know.
So the people from You Better You Bet did not say such blasphemy.
No.
I think Kennedy already got enough heat for his Eagles comments.
That's
so
good.
I'm trying to, help him out.
He probably deserved it.
Yeah,
lesson learned. But Trista Crick, trash Phillies?
Probably from New York.
Is that what we got to do the research. All right. Now I got to put the bullseye on her. Unneeded comment. Rob Cherry, can we lighten this thing up? I hope.
We got a dead walrus on our hands. Let's see if we can't end up with something a little different. Yeah.
This date in Philly's history, did anything good happen?
Yes. August 17th, 1980. Phil swept the pair from the Mets at Shea. Both games lasted 2 hours and 13 minutes.
For two games?
Yeah. 2 hours, 13 minutes. Carlton won his 19th in the first game. Randy Lurch, who was awful that year, won his fourth game of the year. But the Phillies actually weren't even first place at the time. That was the year they won the championship. 1993,
okay.
In Denver, they beat the Rockies 10-7. It was the Rockies' first year. They were 43-76. They had 63,000. You know where they played their first year? Mile High.
Oh, that's right.
Mile High Stadium.
I forgot all about that. You're right.
L.A. pitched the eighth inning. He struck out the side, Larry Anderson. But he also, But he gave up four hits and four runs.
Huh.
Even though he struck out the side. 2010, Phils beat the Giants at Citizens Bank Park 9-3, 45,000 on a warm Tuesday night. They were still 2.5 games behind the Braves at the time. Royals were all went 7. It was the first game back for Pat Burrell at Citizens Bank Park. He got a standing ovation.
Nice.
He hit a home run and they booed him in his first at bat. I kid you not. They threw the ball back. 2011, they beat the Diamondbacks at Citizens Bank Park 9-2. They were at 79-42. Big crowd again. Mm-hmm. Way up on the Braves. 2 hours, 47 minutes. Cliff Lee, 7 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs. He improved to 13-7. He had a 2.82 ERA. He would finish third in the Cy Young. But we remember about Cliff Lee that year?
What's that?
4-0. He blows a 4-0 lead in game two.
By the way, is his face still on a milk carton? Mm. Anybody know the whereabouts of Cliff Lee?
That's baseball. That's all I got.
All right, that Norway killed a walrus.
Yeah.
This date in history. Thanks, everybody. Jim in Phoenix is on WIP. Good morning, Jim.
Greetings from Phoenix, morning team. How are you?
Doing good, Jim.
Ruben, 2-4 against the Mets. Okay, that's a loser mentality. I got to take a couple of points with you here real quick. Mm-hmm. Chris Bassett on Friday is going to be pitching. He's got more ticks than Mark the Bird Fitrich did.
My goodness.
All the Philly fans got to do is rattle this guy, just like they did at that at-bat with Brett Myers against CC Sabathia in the playoff game. This guy can be rattled, and the Philly fans can actually help win this game on Friday night. I mean, he just falls apart like a crumbling brownie when things don't go his way. If things go his way, he's fine. But once negative things happen behind him in the field or he walks a couple people, he falls apart. So
well, and Jim, this is why, and like I was talking to Ruben. He's indisposed at the moment. I was talking to Ruben about this. Like, this is what I was so upset about that Mets series.
No,
because they went 0-10 with runners in scoring position. They had the opportunities against Bassett, and they weren't able to capitalize, which is why a lot of fans are kind of in a funk, even though they are beating up on the Reds right now, because the Mets were the gauge, and they blew opportunities.
You with me, Rube?
Philly fans bring it, though. If they bring it, you know, they can rattle this guy. They start booing when he starts stepping off the mound or shaking five times. They can get to him. I promise you they'll get to him. Point number two real quickly, the Mets pitching staff the rest of the week, it's not good. I mean, we're going to be facing Williams, Peterson, and either someone coming up from the minor leagues or a bullpen game. Yeah. There's no reason in the world that the worst we win 3 out of 4 and we should win 4 out of 4 in actuality.
I hope so. And they're losing pitchers left and right as well. Their entire staff keeps getting hurt. So, I mean.
Right. No Walker. Exactly. No Walker, no Carrasco, and no DeGrom, and no Scherzer. We don't face any of those four pitchers this series. We got to bring it, guys. We got to take this series and take it to them. And show them who we are. We need to beat them back for what they did to us this last week and be within 5 games of the loss column. And that's only if they beat the Braves these next 2 games and we win today. We could even be closer than that. So this could get real close real fast.
I totally agree. Jim, give me a bucket list place to go to.
Has Monte Carlo been said?
No. Monte Carlo. Give him a spin for Monte Carlo. Still a couple prizes.
Number five. You've got the $25 gift card to Dogs and Cats Rule. You want all their great stuff from food, treats, all that stuff? Just visit dogsandcatsrule.com.
Joe's
dot
on
pet,
WYP.
I'm sorry, dot pet. Pet.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, young thing. Good morning, morning team.
Good morning.
How are you? I just want to talk about the Phils and passing the Mets series. You know, it was unfortunate that we dropped 2 out of 3. But given that we had Schwarber and Harper in them series, I think it could have been different. And going into the end of the year, we're looking at the postseason. It's not unreasonable to think that we could pass the Mets in a postseason series, given that we have them bats back. After what we saw in the last series.
Well, I mean, Jim, let's get to the postseason first, right? Because I'm sure you agree, if they get a wild card spot two have the best of 3 series, I'll take Wheeler and Nola against anyone, even though Wheeler hasn't looked like himself as of late.
Right. I mean, you know, in game two, we lost by one, given, you know, we had a little bit more offensive production. Maybe the series looks a lot different to the city and people feel a little bit more uptick about it.
Yeah.
And with the easy schedule, you know, I don't want to count our chickens before they're hatched, but I mean, we're playing sub 500 teams for, you know, most of the month.
Right.
So,
no, I agree. Joe, let me get you a quick spin on the wheel. I would love for you to win a prize. I need a bucket list spot to go to.
Well, it's not one spot. I'd like to visit every major league ballpark and watch a baseball game at every major league ballpark.
Yeah, a major league ballpark tour is a great idea. Give him a spin on the wheel. Al's trying to spin the wheel, and he's getting choked by his own microphone.
We're having some people in that are doing that.
I know. I'm sorry, Al. I was getting the guy's information.
Yeah,
he's
Al.
Just on the phone.
Leave her alone.
All right?
Hey, but you missed it. It was like something out of a comedy. He's trying to reach for it. He keeps choking himself.
Al choked out because I'm not in here. I don't want his death near here. He talks about it too much.
All right, we're going to run through calls real quick. I just want your bucket list place to go to. Ed in Marcus Hook. Ed, what's the place to go to?
Ooh, Prague, but I got something real funny about Trista Crick.
What's that?
Quick.
Okay.
me and my friends listen on the radio all the time to 94.1, and her commercials always come on, and we fade her bets, and we've been making money fading her. So
really? She's for real, but for some reason she's got an issue with Philadelphia. That means I don't like her. TR in Winfield. Hey, TR, I wish we had more time. I want to get you a spin, though. What's a good place to go to?
After watching CNN, I'm going to say Patagonia.
Patagonia.
Ooh, Patagonia. It's a great show.
I know it is clothing, but I didn't know. You've never been to the place.
Number 11, another Keith Jones card. Oh. What do we got left here? Rashid in West Philly. Rashid, what's your spot to go to?
Pacific Coast Highway.
Ooh, the highway.
Oh, get you
a nice
spin
ride.
On that wheel. Two more. No.
Nope. Another Keith Jones card.
All right, we got two more, and that's it. David, give me a spot to go to.
Has anybody said Lambeau Field?
Nobody has said Lambeau Field. Give him a spin. And finally, Rick in Doylestown, what's a spot to go to? Bucket list.
Keith Jones card.
How about Iron Bowl, Auburn, Alabama?
Oh, they go to the game against
final
Alabama.
Spin on our prize wheel. We'll win you a Keith Jones autograph card. All right. Well, an enjoyable morning together. Ava Graham.
Yes.
Can we do a wrap, please?
Yes, we can, John. All right, line of the day is sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looks so good. So earlier you did an Ask Al segment, and Al had this little line.
Questions about life, about food, about entertainment.
Yeah.
Al, I would like to say two words to you and see where you take this.
Second one off.
Ask and answer.
Oh, that was fun. By the way, it was about a wire hanger. Al dated a girl who walked into his apartment. Looked at and saw he had wire hangers. She made a comment about it, and Al said, "All right, we're done here."
Gave her the stanky boot.
Stanky boot.
Oh, he gave her a boot. He gave her the boot out the door. What do you mean? What are you looking at me like that?
Man, you got this. I can't.
That's what it is.
Thank God, it's 10 o'clock.
I know.
He gave her the boot.
Thank the Lord.
Well, I mean, Al wears old shoes.
All right. Brought to you by Armin Chevrolet. Brand new Equinox SUVs in stock. Excellent Armin rebates and
lease
offers available
as
now.
As stupid as he looks.
Find new road. Shop 24/7 at ArminChevy.com. If the injury to Brandon Marsh puts him on the IL, should the Phillies bring back Odubel Herrera? I think this whole stupid thing can be tied in here because Al was right. 90% said no.
Are you listening, John Middleton? Don't let it happen if Marsh has to go on the IL. Thanks to Ava Graham, sadly to Al Morgani, to Rob Cherry, producer Joseph A. Wechter Jr.